G-Radio, Sky Mobile.
K-8RUH.
K-8RUH, good morning.
Good morning.
I see it's worse than when I left for work last night. A balmy 21 out.
Yep, it is chilly out there, that's for sure. I got 23 degrees here. I'm at 696 in Mound.
I'm in Michigan Avenue here in Dearborn, Michigan, in the Southfield Raceway.
Must just be maybe the variations of our cars. I can't imagine that it's much different here than it would be there, but who knows? It is a chilly one, and we got a little snow overnight, just the dusting.
Just a reminder, how many more months we have of this?
Yep, we're just at the beginning of it, that's for sure. It's going to be a long, cold one, I think.
84 is ZYQ.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is KE4ZYQ, Joe in Clinton Township. Not to sound negative, but just heard on the weather report on the TV that whatever the temperature is right about now, that's the high for today. It's only going to go down from here today. KE4ZYQ, have a good trip, good work, whatever you're doing. 7-3.
Man, what a buzzkill. But yeah, I heard the same thing. It's supposed to be a cold 2 or 3 days. Got a Arctic front coming in.
Okay. This could make for fun at work. Oh well, anyway. Yes, I was going to do some minor antenna work on my car. I don't know if I'm going to do it today or not.
WHCRY, or RCY, excuse me.
Go ahead, Donald.
Did I break the circuit?
Nope. What'd you got?
WHCRY. Morning, gentlemen. I got 23 over here on DeQuinder. I'd wave as you go by, Anthony, but I'm not opening up my door wall. It's too bloody cold.
That's all right. I think I'm passing now.
Copy that. I'll let you, other two gentlemen, and good morning to Joe out there. Continue with your two. So I just wanted to say good morning and hello. And just give a temperature update. W8RCY, we'll be listening.
All right, have a good morning, Donald.
22 here in Allen Park, KG8HZ.
I didn't catch that. What was that?
I said it's 22 here in Allen Park. On Oakwood here, the new on-ramp to 94. They closed the ramps there at Southfield and 94 a couple months ago. I don't know how long they're going to deconstruct that thing. It just makes everything a cluster. all these, everybody's trying to find alternative ways to get around.
Oh, we know how that is up here, man. With the 696 closure, it's a nightmare. It's a problem everywhere. It's a problem on 75. It's a problem on 696. It's become a problem on 94 because everybody's rerouting from the west side down the lodge to 94. It's just chaos. So I feel your pain.
Well, I'm, despite the weather, I guess still get out and activate one of my parks this afternoon. Get out there and do that. So you do any parks?
No, not right now. Most of my radio time is drive time. When I'm in the car, I'm on the radio. Otherwise, I screw around a little bit when I'm at home in the garage. But other than that, I'm just local stuff and the analog, DMR, that kind of stuff. I'm just screwing around with that. I don't get out. I'm a tech, so I don't get out and get on HF right now.
Okay, KG887. Yeah, yesterday would have been a good day for the techs. 10 meters seems like it was open. The flux was like 200, and the A and the K index was low.
Okay. Yeah, I just bought a spider beam mask at Dakota's recommendation. I'm going to get that up, and I'm going to get a HF antenna up to listen and to capitalize on those opportunities when I am home that I can get on 10 meter and see what it's all about.
At 10 meters is kind of weird this cycle. It's cycle 23, I think. Yeah, 23. I worked all states on 10 meters, and I don't know. The next following cycle, I was, like, too busy in life and stuff to do a lot of HF. But then this one, it's like it's got, like, really long. It's like you're able to work, like, into Europe, maybe the West Coast. But everything in between, all the other states, they're hard to get.
Well, that's interesting. So you can get real far, but can't get close. And the last time you could get everything, you're saying. It's interesting.
Two cycles ago, 23. That was like back in the early 90s. I worked, was able to work all states.
That's pretty cool, just to be able to say you did it, and on one particular band at that.
And that was an award the league gave out. Oh, they still give it out. And then there's a five band. I've got two of them. I got 40, and I've got 10 meters. 40 CW and 10 meters and phone. When I was looking on the spotter page yesterday, I noticed somebody in Spain, they were on 10 meter FM. I don't know how many contacts they got, but I thought that was pretty cool. I hardly ever see FM. It's up there. They were at 29,200. They were advertising where they were at.
Yeah, it's interesting when you see people just doing what would normally be considered outside the norm, and they're successful with it, and they get it all figured out. That's pretty cool to watch.
So where do you work?
I work at Troy for a IT asset management company. So we manage the life cycle of computers at different companies. So from brand new, we image them, deploy them, and then when they're on the desk, we inventory them, and then at the end of the life cycle, we take them back and either recycle them or remarket them.
Okay, yeah, really cool. Does your company market stuff on eBay, whatever, some of the stuff that's, you know, getting long in the tooth?
No, most most of what we resell, we wholesale. So sell it to people that are going to get it to the end users. We don't really, at this time, we're not really doing any eBay or anything like that. It's good and bad. It's bad for people that want to just buy some stuff, and it's good because we're able to move high volume of equipment. What about you? What do you do?
I'm a stationary engineer at Ford. I work at World Headquarters, and I don't know. I might be going to the Enterprise Data Center. It's in the north end of the property because they're going to take the wrecking ball to the building in a couple years.
That's interesting. So you're an engineer and you work overnights?
I'm firing the boilers, keeping the building warm, and when I was at the data center, we took care of the cooling towers, the plate and frame heat exchanger, which they're using right now, and then in the summer, in the spring and the summertime, the 650-ton chillers.
I got you, an engineer as in a engineer, building engineer, that maintains stuff. That's pretty cool. I'm sure a building that size, you got a lot of work cut out for you.
I don't, but the leader does. he has to go all over the World Headquarters complex. I forget, I think there's five or six fan rooms he's got to walk through every shift. But I just basically stay down there and watch the water chemistry and keep things online, keep things from tripping out.
Well, at this time of year, that's a pretty important job because it could cause a real problem if things go haywire.
Yeah, it would be a news item that would be, that this building was closed because they had some kind of building issue. That's how the press puts it. KGH hates that.
Yep, got to have that saying, KGHRUH.
Wonder where Sean's this morning. KGH hates that.
Yeah, Sean or Dakota. I haven't heard from either one of them. Sometimes Sean comes on in the next, 5-10 minutes, but Dakota's usually in the car by now, unless he's staying home today.
Yeah, okay. We got an IT guy that works for the company. He's on the Ann Arbor repeater. And he gets to stay home every day. I'm very envious.
You know, I'm sure in your role you have to be there every day regardless, but it is working from home every day is not what it's cracked up to be. It can get pretty tedious. Days get long, and sometimes you're looking for people to talk to.
Good morning.
There he is.
How are the roads? Anything to worry about?
Nope, smooth sailing.
Yeah, roads are real good at the airport.
Yeah, I just worry about maybe some freezing, slash some ice or something like that, but so far I've been out on the main road for about a mile here. Seems okay. But it is nipply, isn't it?
It is. That's what we were talking about earlier. And actually, I just got to 14 in Stevenson, and it's now 20 degrees, down 3 from my highway adventures.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't supposed to be. Right now, my thermometer is saying 19. Of course, that usually goes up a degree or two when I get driving. But I heard the high today was only supposed to be 21. So this is as good as it gets, I hear. You guys get a good amount of snow?
We got a solid dusting.
Dustin in Dearborn and out here at the airport.
Yeah, I'd say same here. A little accumulation, but didn't amount to a whole lot. Roads are all clear.
Hey guys, I'm about to pull into the parking lot, so I'm going to exit this person out. Everybody have a great morning.
Go outside and deal with the snow, so I'm just going to drive over it.
Sorry, Dakota, I doubled with you. I'm pulling into the driveway. I'll catch up with all of you tomorrow. KE8RUH, have a great day.
Later.
What's that, Jerry?
Yeah, good morning, KE8HZ.
What time do you normally get off, Jerry?
7, but I got this newbie down in the boiler room, and he called me at like 20 after, and said, told me to get out of there. We're tag release.
So you were able to get out there an hour early?
Like 30 minutes.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, all right, well, I know you're happy about that. Well, all right, I just heard you in there. I knew about this time you get off. I wish you hadn't took that 6 meters out there. We could have scored some 6 meters, but oh well. Maybe some other time. 7-3 in AWJ.
Oh, man. I was wondering what that thing bonking at me was. Oh, my seatbelt. There you go. So, Jay, that 847 you had, before they mashed up the front panel on it, the controls, what were you sending it in for?
I was sending it in because the finals or something on the UHF was going bad. Heat sink or something like that. Because when it get warm, stop transmitting on UHF, and that was it. It was in good condition. I kept that radio up. That radio was, man, God, it broke my heart. And then the bad thing about it, I put $900 insurance on it, and they didn't want to pay. Oh man, that's ridiculous, man. I don't know them. Yep, so, well, I took him to court, and to the judge said, well, would you take $600? So I said, okay, I'll take $600.
Right, I remember that. I was just curious what was wrong with it, because I saw a complete front face panel with all the controls and everything for sale on eBay or somewhere for like $140. So I was thinking that, you know, you could get that thing up and running for $140, but it would still have that problem, you know, the UHF problem. Because I think the damage was all just to the front panel, right?
Yep, I've seen that too on eBay, but I don't have an eBay account. And I think it's gone now. I told John, Z3MPH, about it because he's in the eBay and all that stuff there. I had no idea those things just plug and play. The whole thing is unplugged, that whole panel on the front there.
All right, I'm just curious. Anyhow, on another note, Dakota, we were all on 80 last night. Did it work? Oh, yeah, but my antenna's smoking there, and I think my problem on VHF might be in the house somewhere. Because I put a duck on my 705, and I've got, the noise is even stronger on a duck on my 705 sitting in my shack. So it's got to be something in my house. Well, there you go. You narrowed it down. Next time you guys are on 80, shoot me a text. I want to try it out. I imagine we'll be fine. But the band's quiet, at least. I don't know what I'm going to be able to do with 10 watts, but I'll give it a go.
I was just on eBay last night.
Yeah, what'd you buy?
I replaced the tubes for a Collins R-399. 388, sorry, 388.
Ah, the venerable 51J3, or is that a 51J4? I can't remember which one the 388 is.
Yeah, my son, we bought it from a state, and he recapped it and stuff, and then he gets into the tubes, and he said a bunch of them were shorted and some other stuff, so... You see, I'm going to put it downstairs. I don't have any money to fix it. So the price said, yo, I just said, yeah, I could do that. So I bought them.
Man, I got a big old patch of ice kind of up high on the driver's side windshield, and it won't come free. It's not in my field of view or anything, but it's annoying as hell. This is W8FU.
Hey, Sean, when did you last see that panel?
I think it was day before yesterday. I don't think I was... looking. No, yeah, I don't, maybe. I was on jury duty. So maybe it was day before yesterday. I don't know, it was the last couple of days anyhow.
Well, maybe I ought to, I don't know how to get, how do you get on eBay? Don't you have to pay to get on, to have that website?
Nope. All you gotta do is just make an account, and then if you wanna buy something, you'll have to, you know, meet the buyer's terms. You know, if he wants some sort of cash thing like Cash App or Venmo or something like that, or they want a check or a money order, or you'll have to see whatever they want. You know, very often they use PayPal. You know, people have objections to signing up for PayPal for reasons, but as far as signing up for eBay, you just make an account and you're good to go. There's no fee and no cost. The fees are all to the seller as a portion of their sale.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it seems like I've heard people talk about eBay, and I've sound like I heard people get ripped off on eBay there. Is that possible?
The potential for being ripped off in e-commerce is high. You're never completely free of it. You gotta kinda, there's ratings. You can look at, if a person sold, 300 things and they've gotten 100%, 100% rating, you can be pretty sure the person's got a reputation there. They don't want to tarnish if it seems like an individual. It's when you start getting into people that only have one sale or people that have, a low, approval rating or sometimes just, you got to kind of get suss it out and, kind of get a feel for who you're dealing with. most of the time I try to get a feel for who I'm working with, and you know, there's any number of ways I can convince myself that the person I'm dealing with is legit. I could write a book on it. It's not like I could sit down and say, oh yeah, just do this. But having said that, I've done countless transactions on both eBay and other forums, and I've not been stung once. Well, that's not true. I think somebody misrepresented my 705. It had a problem, and I think they knew it. It wasn't a big deal, but I think they knew it, and I think they misrepresented it. Other than that, I've been 100%. And eBay does a good job policing bad sellers, too. Like, I've been buying a fair amount of stuff on eBay recently, and, you know, if you pay with PayPal, your money's guaranteed, too. So, you got that going for you.
73,
all KGAZ. Later, Jerry.
Bye-bye, Jerry. Okay, Sean, I thought that thing was sold. I mean, if it's not, I'd still like to get that. That'll save me some money for that, for my 847, because, I mean, the only thing is, like I said, they broke three knobs off of there, the front of it, and then the big knob, it was cracked. So I had no idea those things. It's just a plug and play. You know, you can see the wire that you can, you know, you must have to take the screws off and plug it on there, and take the old one off there. So that's all right. But dang, man, that's hard to find, man. And, you know, every time I turn around, somebody's got a 847. Like, for instance, I heard this guy had one. I heard him talking, and he said that some kind of way they hooked it up wrong, and it fried the whole, the 847. So he gave it to, I can't think of his name out there, that's got his shop out there in, Commerce Township. I forget his name, but he gave it to him. And he said he knew I needed it. He would have gave it to me for free. So, oh well, it is what it is. But with that note, I'm sure there's a few 847s around. I see them still, you know, I see people still selling that radio, but I'm sure that some people probably got it for parts. So I'll just keep looking. Eventually, hopefully, I'll run into one that all they're doing is selling it for parts. This is NAWJ5B.
All right, Jay. Well, the reason I thought of it is I saw that, and we got a buddy. He was out here earlier, Anthony. He's looking for starting to get on two-meter and possibly even 432. Spy van, you know, and that radio came to mind as one to keep my eye out for, but I was surprised at how much they go for. They're still fetching a pretty good price. So, anyhow, it got me to thinking about it, and I thought, well, what about yours? You know, and I saw that panel, and I said, you know, you could get that radio and get that panel and make a radio out of it. Just got my wheels turning. That's all. Anywho, what else is new, Jay? Anything exciting? And then pass it over to Dakota.
Well, you know, it's nice that we got a lot of newcomers on the ham band. I was talking to a guy up there on the Washington County machine, and he had a pretty interesting call sign. His call sign was KFA. FCC. What do you think about that? Go ahead, Dakota.
I've never seen an 847, Jay. I'm going to have to look that up when I get to the office. I'm a assuming that's the predecessor of the 857, Sean?
No, not really. If it's a predecessor of anything, it'd be the 991, I'm thinking. It was kind of a larger base station, all shack-in-a-box. Very, very nice-looking radio, a lot of controls. And so, you know, it'd be a nice showpiece in the shack, but definitely not a portable or mobile operation. Full 100 watts. I don't know what it did on VHF and UHF. I think like 50 and 35 or something like that, but pretty cool radio. Yeah, look it up. They're pretty neat. I was just thinking about Anthony, right? You know, because he's looking for something to try get out there on VHF at minimum, so... Wow, I just missed the train. Yay. Although, okay, which way is it going? All right, cool. I got to cross the tracks again in a little bit here, but the train's going the other way, so I'll be good.
And AW. Do I have?
It's all yours.
Well, you can look at, go to rigpick.com, and go to Yaesu, and you can see the way it looks, the back and the front of it. You get all the radios, like I guess the Japanese radios, Yaesu, Icon, Kenwood, and I keep forgetting the other one there, but. Yeah, the Yaesu is like the granddaddy to the 991A. I'm sorry, 847 rather, Yaesu 847. It's like the granddaddy to the 991A. The 991A has fusion, and the 847 it's a satellite radio too. You know, satellite radio. But it's got everything in it. Except those 50-liter channels that the 991 has. I love that radio, that 847. Old radio. I bought mine down in Dayton 21 years ago. This year would have been 21 years if I would have had it. But, oh, well, it is what it is. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, great deal.
You know, they're probably not as good as some of these newer radios, these SDR radios and stuff like that, but they're plenty good enough. So, why does that moon look weird to me, Dakota? It just, it's like, that's not where I normally see it or something. I don't know what it is. Must have caught them off guard. Got the moon really low in the northwest sky, real full, weird. I don't normally ever see it there like that.
Hey, I'll eat me up.
Go ahead.
All right, good morning, gentlemen. Just sitting and listening. I'm going to hit a couple notes to the 847 there. I have one. It is a wonderful radio. It can be opened up to get all of the other channels that you guys were discussing there. And it is also basically Yaesu's answer to the Kenwood FT, or yeah, the Kenwood FT2000. Is what I would say, but the other thing is yeah, it's 100 watts on everything except for UHF, VHF, where it is 50 watts each. Yeah, BBLX.
The Kenwood 2000, it puts out. It puts out 100 watts on 100 watts on 2 meters and 2 meters and 8 jump, 6 meters and 8 jump. And it only puts out 50 watts on UHF, whereas the Yaesu 847 put out 50 watts on 2 meters and 440, and it puts out 100 watts on 6 and 8 jump.
Yes, sir. That is the difference between them. But like I said, it's basically, other than that, just about the same radio. Except for the fact that the TS-2000 also has a built-in tuner, just a small one that from what I hear is okay, but not that great. As towards the Yaesu, you have to have an external tuner.
You know, that 2000, there's something weird about the subband in it. It's like you could only do FM, or you could only do, there's something weird about the way the VHF, UHF, or the subband or something worked, which I don't think was an affliction of the 847. But when I was real hot for a 2000 for a little while, and then when I read about the limitations of the second band, I kind of cooled on it real quick. 847, I don't think had any such limitations. I think you could do anything on the other band. So you could have it camped out on 2 and also be on HF, I think. I'm not sure. Or am I mistaken on that?
On mine, there's no limitations. I usually keep I'm on 2 meter and 440 more than I am on anything else, so I usually keep mine the main band scanning there between the two, and then the sub band on 10 meter, and it's just a quick flip of the old AB switch, and it's right there. But yeah, you can keep the sub band pretty much on any other band. And then it also has the cross repeater too, not only the satellite, which, you know, we all know how that works and everything, but you can turn the cross repeater on when it's in satellite mode, and it just switches right over to doing the cross repeat, which is pretty cool, because sometimes my handheld is just not quite reaching, and I can just switch it over real quick and use that there. KF8 BLX.
Yeah, it ain't got a job. Besides, that Kenwood 2000, and you can put a 1.2 module in there, if I'm not mistaken, too.
Yeah, but I think on VHF, UHF, and 1296, it's FM only, right? That might be the limitation. I think it's FM only on the 2000, and that'd be no good for me. You know, if I was going to get a rig like that, it's because I'd want it as an all mode.
Sean, you're saying that the Kenwood 2000, it's not an all mode radio?
There was something about it. I was kind of like hot to get one a few years back, and I remember reading about the limitations of VHF and UHF on it. I can't remember what it was. And it might be that. It might be that it was FM only, and it was designed to be a satellite rig, and that's it. And so that was of little use to me. If I was going to get a rig, a shack in a box, you know, I really needed VHF and UHF sideband. That would be why I'd want it. You know, satellite would be a distant second, if at all. You know, it's not something I do. And when I'm pretty sure that might have been what it was. I know my friend Arpad has one, so maybe he could chime in and tell us if he's listening. But there's something about the VHF and UHF use, and that might be it, that you can only use those on FM. I'm just trying to remember what it was. I just know it took it off my radar.
WYW.
Speak of the devil. Go ahead, devil.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, this thing is an all mode on VHF, UHF.
I thought.
All right, well, then there's something about the way it does the subband or something that kind of put me off. I can't remember for the life of me.
Okay, well, you're more than welcome to come over and play with it to figure out what that was. I don't really use this for its actual capability right now. I'm just using it as a UHF FM rig. I haven't really explored its capabilities really at all, so I couldn't really tell you a lot about it other than I do know for a fact it is all-mode VHF UHF and puts out lots of power. Does a full 100 on 2. I couldn't tell you what it does on UHF. I don't know off the top of my head. I'd have to RTFM. Anyway, I'll let you guys carry on. WY8M, back to you, Sean.
Alrighty, Arp. Yeah, I don't know. There was something. I can't remember now, but there was something that kind of, because I really liked that radio, and I still do, but there was something about it that made me pause, take pause, and I thought maybe that was it. But, or maybe it can only do, FM when it's in a subband position. Maybe that was it. You know, something like that. Because my vision for a radio like that would be, I'd have HF on one side, then I might have like the 2 meter sideband calling frequency on the other. And maybe you can't do that. Maybe you can't do sideband on the subband. So I don't know. It's been a long time since I was looking into one and I saw that deal breaker for me. Anywho, Dakota, how are you going? I haven't talked to you in several transmissions.
Let's see if I got it. I don't know if my radio's messed up or what, but I just got doubling with people. I couldn't get in, Warren and Mount Clemens, but I'm good. I'm just sitting at the office here in the parking lot. I was trying to say if anyone's got a lead or comes across an 897, let me know.
That's the bigger man-pack spot radio, right?
Yeah, it's like the OG FTX1. It had proprietary accessories, it looks like a tuner that mounted to it and a battery that mounted to it and things like that. I don't really care for any of that, but I just think the face looks awesome.
Well, if you want to borrow one and play with it and see what it's all about, whether you like it or not, I can help you out there.
Yeah, well, we know how that goes. I like it a lot.
Yeah, we got one here at work, and it's been sitting in a box for a long time. It's not possible to sell it or anything like that, but certainly could get it out and take it for a spin. Probably be good for it, make sure it's working.
The only thing that worries me about that is that's a tease, because good luck finding a American market one.
I must admit, it's not a radio I've seen a whole lot on the used market, but then again, I haven't been looking for one, so, you know, that may be more of it than anything. All right, my parking spot is straight ahead, so I'm going to pull into it and get in the shop and get the last couple days. I was off on Tuesday on jury duty, and I took yesterday off sick. So this is my second day back to work this week. So I'm going to get in there and get the whip a cracking. W8FU, who gets it next?
H-U-H-S.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, this is a Yaesu FT897D with antenna tuner for grand. He's in the United States somewhere on eBay.
All right, I'll look at it. The last one I saw was on Facebook, and it sold in like 2 seconds. He had it up for like $650, I think, and it was an 897 and I think an LDG tuner. Might have been $700, and I didn't jump on it, and I wish I would have, but now I know that they're hard to come by, so I'll check out that one on eBay. But I'm trying to stay under that $700 mark for that radio. It's a radio that I probably will never use. I might do an activation here or there with it, but it's just a sweet radio that I want to put in the bag.
Yeah, the radio, the antenna tuner, and battery. It says 180 watts. Is that what it picks out? I don't know.
No, that's probably just the battery pack that's in it, which is also cool because those are, if you find them, they usually don't have the battery pack from what I've been reading because I think that I'm almost positive they're nickel metal, so they're probably all bad.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I had a radio with C-cells in it, and a couple of them, they wouldn't charge in the charger, and so I looked on YouTube, and I found an interesting fix. You take a couple flat knives, and you set them on there. You set a good battery in front of the faulty one, and then put a battery over top of the positive chips, and hold it there for a minute, and it worked. I was able to recharge the batteries if earlier we were saying they were faulty.
Yeah, it's how you revive the battery. You trick the charger into thinking it's charging a good battery because if the voltage is too low, the chargers won't put any juice into it. I've done that a couple times with RC batteries, which I don't recommend doing with LiPos. It's a little sketchy because they're a pretty volatile power cell. But, all right, I'm going to clear out of here as well. I'm going to sit in the parking lot for about 15 minutes, so I'm going to get inside. I'll catch everyone later. NADDF.
Okay, this guy was a TIHG. 3878
was the seller. 73 KGHS.
Hey, Jerry,
where are you looking that at?
On eBay.
Are you on eBay now, or you saw that on eBay?
Yeah, I got it on my phone.
Well, what I'm trying... Okay, well... I'm trying to figure out if they have a Yaesu 847 plate. I was trying to see if that's still available on there. Still there, Jim?
Yeah, still looking, KG-86.
Yeah, it's maybe gone. They had a plate. I had no idea it was Yaesu 847. Face plate is a plug and play. It was on there for, I think it was wanted about $190 or something like that. And that's just what I need. It's hard to find parts for that 847. And that would make my day if I could get that. Because when I sent that radio in to get repaired, the girl dropped that thing and messed up three of the knobs on there and the big knob. And it cracked it, so that's all I would be other than making sure that the UHF finals put that back in there, and I would be good to go. Okay, it's probably gone, though.
Yeah, I don't see it. And I looked down here earlier. There were, like, complete radios, but they were in Japan. So I don't know, you know, their frequency privileges are different than us.
Yeah, I know. Somebody was a Yaesu, one of those, we call it QRP radios or something like that, and it was a Japanese kind, but they were selling it for, swap back there last year. Late last year, something like that. And it was going for $600, and the guy talked him down to, well, $650, and he talked it down to $600. So that's a nice little radio. I had no idea those radios. They run on batteries, too. I would love to have one of those.
Yeah, okay, KG, it's, yeah, I see one here, he wants 900, but it's in Japan, too.
Well, that, like, Jeju, the TRP radio was, what's the model, 817 or something like that?
Oh, that one. No, no, this is an 847, all-mode transceiver, but he's the guy's in Japan. It says located in the United States, and then when I clicked on the advertisement, I click on that particular thing, it's, oh, country of origin, Japan. No, this guy's in the States. He wants $900. South Carolina.
No way would I get it. That's too expensive. I mean, you can get JG-847 all day long for about $600, $700. Yeah, that's too much. You want too much for that radio. Hell, a couple more hundred, you could get a 9918. Brand new.
Hey, that site you mentioned, what is this, Rig Picks? They don't have any ICOM on here. I don't get it.
Yeah, they do. They got Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, and what's the other one I keep forgetting? That other brand.
Oh, you're right. That's kind of weird. It's at the very top. Because they got that alphabetical list, and I'm going down the list looking for I, and I didn't see it. I didn't look at the very top.
Yeah, well, what's the other one? I keep forgetting the other one. It's not as popular as Kidwood, Yaesu, or ICOM. What's that other one?
Oh, I don't know. Alenco?
That's it. Alenco. I don't know why I keep forgetting Alenco. Yeah. But it's got all the models of the Kidwood, Yaesu, ICOM, and Alenco.
These ones. There's a bunch of those. Zygu.
Okay, we doubled a minute. What was that now?
Unless it was a Chinese one, Daigu.
Oh, I don't know. But that's a pretty nice website for, the major radios there. I mean, it's got every one of them. It's got, you know, like Kenwood, it's got the HF and the mobile radios and all that good stuff.
So you going to swap this weekend?
Yeah, I like to make it. I'll make it. I mean, if I can remember.
How much is it to get in? Well, I guess I should look on the flyer. I printed it out.
Well, I'm curious, too. I don't even know how much it swaps out now.
Oh, KG-88X. Yeah, he's right. They got the IC-7100. I seen one of those on QRZ a couple weeks ago. A guy wanted... that was an 891. The guy wanted $500. But they got the 7100 here. That's HF, 6, 2 meter, and 440. And it's all band, except Terry's right. It doesn't have AM. It does. It has AM. But I think on the upper band, one of it, 2 meter or 440, it doesn't have AM. That was his complaint about that radio. KG-88X.
Okay, NHWGL5D. Are you talking about the ICOM 80? I mean 7100. What radio are you talking about?
Yeah, the mobile, the IC-7100.
Yeah, that's I got the 5100. That's a D star radio.
Oh yeah, it does D star too. Wonder why they don't mention that. Oh, it does at the very end. AM, FM, wide FM, sideband, CW, RDI, and D-Star.
Yeah, I almost got that instead of my 9918. You know, because I'm into that D-Star. I got the 5100, but it was nice to have one of them at the house, you know, because a lot of times they would have a net, and they say, okay, we're going to D-Star on 10 meters, we're going to D-Star on 20 meters, and so on and so on.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, well, anyway, that's like another shack-in-the-box radio. A little smaller profile than the 991.
Well, the only thing is I don't like about that radio is because it puts out 35 watts on UHF. It puts out 50 watts on 2 meters for 35 watts, whereas the 9918 put out 50 watts on UHF and VHF.
Okay, yeah, really good. Yeah, that's an interesting site. I'll have to scribble that one down.
Yeah, how your son doing?
Still looking for work.
Oh, yeah, I guess everything's rough now.
Yeah, it sure is. I don't know how many places he's applied to.
Well, good luck. Tell me good luck, because I know it's kind of rough out there. As a matter of fact, I might have to come out of retirement.
You're looking for part-time?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I talked to a coworker. He's 70, I think. He's collecting Social Security. I'm debating on doing that.
Well, how old are you, Jerry?
67.
Oh, yeah, you might as well go ahead and get your money. You at that age. Oh, yeah, you know. I think that is, what is it? I thought it was like 65 or 70. It might be 70. Then again, you know, I don't know, you may have to look into that, but I think it go up to 70.
Yeah, it goes up to 70. I gotta find out, because, you know, I don't want to limit not being able to work overtime if they offered. yeah, in my case, it was 66 and 8 months, which was October of last year.
Yep. Well, hey, you might as well go on and do that, Jerry. You ain't gonna live forever now. I know you got a good job, but, geez, hey, man, you might as well live a little.
Yeah, it's pretty easy as of late, KG88 said.
Yeah, well, then again, you had a good job. You know, I was getting ready to say, I was going to say that at least 65. My boss was just, oh, man, why you want to leave? So I went on and, see, I was right at 62 when I retired in 2016. You know, my birthday was April the 6th, and I retired April the 1st. So they gave me those couple of days, I guess. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, it felt right on time. But anyway, I goes in there and Social Security, and says, signed up for Social Security. And I said, I told this pretty girl. I says, this is all I get for Social Security, because I'm used to making that big money, $1,300 a week or so. So she says, well, wait a minute. What do you want to do? You want to live? Do you want to live, how did she put it? She said, do you want to live longer No. Do you want to make as much money as you can and live shorter time or try to live longer or something, to put it. You know what I'm saying. And so I said, well, I can't have it both ways. So, yeah, I would like to live longer. So she said, well, I know some people that pass through here, and they only collect about 3 checks today, and they gone. So I thought about that. I said, well, let me be satisfied with what I got.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I got to start checking into it. I printed out the paperwork on it and stuff. Hold on, let me get that swap paper, thinking of papers.
Yeah.
$10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess that's the going price. I mean, considering, you know, it's been, used to be $5 and $5 to get in. Yeah, that's about right, $10, yeah.
8 till noon. Sunday, let's see, 1451 East Big Beaver Road in Troy.
Yeah, I've been there before. Have you been there? Been there?
No, uh-uh. But I could get out of work and head on up there, I guess, for a couple hours. I have to bring some cash. Anyway, I don't know. The raffle is a Yaesu FT710.
Oh, that's that new radio. Yeah, because they usually have, they used to wrap off a 9918 Yaesu, but yeah, that's the newest radio that Yaesu put out.
You do not need to be present to win.
Okay. Yep. Kind of find me a date in there for the grand prize. I know I've been down to Dayton and I listen and I've heard people win radios. Even some people weren't even hams and they won radios. Some expensive radios. I mean, you know, some of them radios people didn't claim so because they wasn't there. So they go to the next I guess they draw another name to see what they come out with. Yeah, so, yeah. It's all good. Ooh, I'm getting comfortable. I'm slept.
Well, I guess my kids get tax-free life insurance.
How's that?
Because I just paid the fee there for the year, $556.26 for, it can't be, I don't know, for the life thing. I guess that's what the tax I paid per year. Yeah, it must be the tax.
Roger. Well, all right, yeah. That's good. I mean, you could do that. Oh, my boys, they all rolling, going. And sometimes I miss that. Sometimes I'm kind of glad they are going on their own. One of my sons worked for Costco out there near the airport there. He's a hollow driver. Then I got my other son works in Canada as a UPS driver. And he claims he makes pretty good money. And he's got couple of kids and stuff there, living girls there, so everybody seems to be doing fine.
Where is he at, in Ontario?
Yeah, he's right there in Windsor.
Okay, very good. Well, I gotta get some. I gotta put my hat back in the car, and then I gotta go check on my mobile. I got some. I gotta check the connections. I keep getting kind of high SWR, higher than usual with my antennas when I'm activating the park on Parks in the Air, and I want to find out why. Because I got to go out and activate again this afternoon.
Well, it sounds like you're cutting out a little bit on this radio. I mean, I'm not sure if it's speaking like you are. Well, okay, Jerry, I better give you some sleep before I've even slept the whole day away. That's how it is when you retire. Anyway, have a good day. It ain't goes yet.
All right, Jay, talk to you later, KG887.
WDHKLL.
W8FU. The big man calls and nobody answers. Tisk, tisk. KE8LAX. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing okay. And you just call me fat.
No, you got me laughing pretty good. Nope, that was not the big man, the important man.
All right. Anyhow, yeah, just out here grabbing some lunch. I'll tell you what, chili. Went and got some soup. So that's gonna be, I think that's gonna be today's lunch. Sounds like something would hit the spot, so between that or chili or something like that.
Ah, yes, that does sound really good. I had to go up to Elginac early this morning. I looked at the temperature, 21 degrees. I was like, oh my God, this sucks. But I won't complain too much because, you know, the last few years we haven't even had a white Christmas, so this is a okay change of pace, I guess, for this year.
Yeah, I've got no complaints with winter weather. It is what it is. But, I check every morning. I usually ask, device. The Alex A device, what the weather is, and it said this morning, it said it is 20 degrees, and it said with a high expected of 21 and a low of 6 for today. So that means this morning, before the sun came up, we were about as high as it was going to be. So I'm guessing it's downhill all the way to single digits by midnight. So I could probably wear better shoes, and I got tennis shoes that are fairly breathable. Probably should have worn my boots. I got a set of boots that I can wear, you know, on the job. I should have wore those, and I got the right coat and the right hat, but, yep. All right, I just pulled back into the lot. I'm going to get inside and
enjoy my soup while it's still piping hot. W8FU, after yours.
Sounds good. Enjoy that soup. I find it funny that you refer to the device the way you do. It makes me feel like you've had some accidental activations by using your radio. But either way, 7-3s, you have a good rest of your day. We'll catch you on the air soon. This is KEOAX, clear and monitoring.
Still 21 degrees, shining sun, not a cloud in the sky, over here in the homeland, Sean. Enjoy your lunch. Have a good afternoon. W8RCY.
21 outside, but it's actually 75 where I'm at. KE4ZYQ.
KE4ZYQ.
No, I'm
at, either you're on vacation or you're inside your house.
And t-shirt, basketball shorts, barefoot. So I'm comfortable.
You guys doubled. Exactly. And I think, Sean, I heard something about cemetery or something. I didn't hear that one. But I got the barefoot and t-shirt and shorts or something. What'd you say, Sean? Back to you. Yeah, he must have destinated there. Other station, go ahead. KE4ZYQ on the shorts and barefoot.
KE4ZYQ, KE8LAX. I was going to say, with temperatures like that, you're either on vacation on a note or you're in your house.
Well, the latter is true. Yeah, I'm at the home QTH, and I tolerate winter as best I can, but yours truly still has to go out, even if I'm not working. And it's things called groceries, even though there's our delivery systems that I've tried, and many of them failed, and actually fraudulently failed. So I will be venturing out one day in the near future.
Hey, copy that. Yeah, the wife likes to use those delivery services, and more times than not, there's lots of mistakes made. Some of them by her, not reading the sizes, and the other ones from them. They won't pick the right thing, or they'll have to substitute, and it's always a pain. I prefer to go into the stores. The cold doesn't really bother me much, but I'm also in my early 30s, so I'm sure as I get older, I'm gonna hate it more and more.
Yep, KE4ZYQ, and the name here is Joe Juliet Oscar Echo. Yeah, I know somebody that ordered from one of these, I think it was Instacart, and they ordered something somewhere around the 4th of July, and they ordered about $150 worth of groceries. The shopper that they're supposed to vet went shopping for that order, added $85 worth of baby back ribs, and took that whole order and delivered it to one of his friends so they could have a good 4th of July picnic. Never delivered it to the person who ordered it. That person had to cancel their charge card, cancel their membership, and go out the next day and go shopping. So there you go for vetting people that shop for those people that need it. Interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And the vetting process that they supposedly go through is nothing special. We had a similar thing happen at Walmart's ship-to-order that we did. One of the drivers just entirely drove off with it, and it never got delivered. And when we called them, they're like, "Oh, well, we have to investigate." You know, luckily it was only like a day and a half to investigate before they returned our money. But still, it's just wild and ridiculous. That shouldn't even be issued.
Yep, QSL that, and that person I was mentioning too, I heard they called the police department, local police, and they said that the camera, the manager of the store said that the guy was caught on camera doing it, and the police told the individual that got ripped off that it's not worth following up because their cameras are terrible. And they said, well, since you got your money back from your charge card, if you charged it, then there's a victimless crime, meaning you got your money back, nobody was hurt. And I'm thinking, didn't get an order, had to cancel a card, get a new one, had to go out and shop, no victim. Oh, okay. That's today's mentality. Very good.
Yeah, unfortunately, that just seems to be the path that things are heading towards. Last night I got pulled over for an out headlight, and the officer was amazing. He was really cool, but my son was in the passenger seat. He had some patch on his jacket from some video game, and the officer asked if it was from that video game, and I had to ask him, because he was like, oh, that's really cool, you guys are good, have a nice night. And now I'm over here thinking, you have to be a video game nut to get off of tickets now. the next generation is taking over.
Well, the one thing about that guy I was telling you about that I heard, he told me, he said that they didn't pursue arresting the guy, said it was a victimless crime. But the funny thing is, think about it, it's not a victimless crime, because when the store gets ripped off and somebody cancels the order and can't pay it because it wasn't on the card legally, the store has to eat the cost, and guess who they pass that on to? Oh, I think that's called the rest of society. Gee, I don't know if that's a victimless crime. KU4ZYQ.
KEOX, I completely agree with you. But you're not, I think part of it has to do with they don't want to have to do the paperwork. And even if they did the paperwork, they're probably going to do nothing about it. And I'm sure that's a good chunk of it. But there's definitely victims in it, but I don't think they're really interested in actually doing anything about it.
Yeah, single digits. We're going to get down to single digits at night and soon, they said, temperature-wise. I do not envy anybody not just having to go out to work, but go work outside somewhere. And driving all day long, that's got to be a heck of a job, especially for law enforcement. But I guess if you're in a warm car and you don't have to get out very often, then it's not too bad.
Yeah, I would have to agree. And there's a lot of some of these jackets now. I've got a Milwaukee jacket that takes the M12 batteries. And that thing keeps you nice and toasty if you're not careful and you don't realize it's on when you're inside. You'll start sweating. But that reminds me, I got to go to the wife's company Christmas party in Troy tonight. And single digits does not sound fun, KE8LX.
KE4ZYQ. I'm glad I put the staple in the engine gas tank. That's stable, so the wintertime the moisture don't get involved in the gas. And it keeps it pretty much running good, knock on wood.
Yeah, that generally helps. I still like to, no matter what, in all of my gasoline items, I'll either start them here and there throughout the winter or drain the carburetors. Run them dry and turn the fuel off, because varnished fuel in a carburetor is the kiss of death. And you'll find that ever so often when springtime rolls around and you start driving around the neighborhoods and start seeing almost new lawnmowers that nobody wants to replace, but you can go on Amazon and get a brand new carburetor for $25.
Well, it was nice talking. I gotta catch lunch here before it gets too late, so my body don't retaliate. But have a good travel, safe travels, warm as possible, and get to the destinations. It's better to get somewhere late than never. KE4ZYQ.
Sounds good, Joe. Stay warm today, and we'll catch you on the air soon. 7-3s. This is KE8LAX. Clear.
N8DDS.
KF8AYL.
Number 8, Foo.
You young whippersnappers and all your lingo, what the heck are you trying to say?
Not much, just trying to make some noise. In 10 minutes I'll have to make a more appropriate noise, but for now I'm just making noise.
Very good. Just down in the shack for a minute, although at the moment there's no radios on, so what's the point of this? But, a few minutes at home in between running out in the freezing cold with some client stuff. But that's all right. It's supposed to be, like, really cold tonight, like six degrees with wind chill below zero. Brr.
That's what I heard. Of course, it's already about 6 or 7 degrees warmer than I heard it was supposed to get all day, so maybe they're off a little. But even then, it'd be 10. But yeah, that's what I heard. I heard 6 was going to be the, well, not overnight low. The overnight low is probably even colder. They said the low for today was supposed to be 6, and the high was supposed to be 21. And that was this morning before the sun came up, so if it was already 20. So I figured if the high was only going to be 21, then it was going to, we were as warm as it was going to get. It was going to start diving. I expect it's going to start diving pretty short order here. Well, as long as the furnace is working, and I guess you're okay. You got forest air over there? I guess I didn't really pay attention. I imagine you would.
Yeah, no, what I saw was they said it was going to be 6 degrees tonight. So I don't know what it said for today, but they said I thought it said 6 degrees tonight. And it's supposed to be like 8 degrees overnight, like Sunday night or something. So it's here for a while. We've got boiler, steam, radiant heat. So it's reasonably quiet, except when it's hissing and clanging. but it's toasty warm where it needs to be.
The only thing I'd miss with a boiler, it's better for you, better for your allergies, better for your sinuses, I understand, better for just about everything. The only thing I'd miss is, boy, curling up by the register when it's blowing, when you're cold. The dogs love it, the cats love it, the kids love it. That's the only part I'd miss.
Yeah, it's, it goes the other way, too, because the radiators themselves are warm, and the ones on the first floor here all have radiator covers on them, so the cats have a warm shelf, they got this hot box, basically, to sit on. They do like that. It's funny, these cats don't gravitate to them the way the other previous cat. Man, if the radiator was warm, the cat was on a radiator. It was these guys don't tend to be magnetically attracted to them quite the same way. But, yeah, instead of having the warm air, you know, blow out of the register, it's just, you know, it's coming off a hot box in the room. So it's similar but different. It is less dust. You know, you don't have the air blowing around. On the other hand, you also don't have a filter. You know, in theory, a furnace with forced air furnaces, you know, drawing air in from the environment and filtering it before it blows it back out. So you don't get that. Whatever. Like I said, I'll tell you what we miss is the air conditioning in the summer, because there's no air with steam heat.
Well, the kids' place was a conversion to central air, as most of the houses that they looked at. I noticed, I remember we were talking about it, and I said, the little tiny portals are enough. They sure are. They do a damn good job. And they can also put them where they need to be, and that's in the ceiling. You know, it's, when it's split like that, you got the, well, of course, they got radiators as well. And, or do they? Wait. Are they forced air? No. No, if they were forced air, they'd have regular. They must be radiators. Yes. Yes, they are. They can't, I mean, I just can't remember where I saw one in the main room. Okay, wait. There's one in the kitchen there. Yeah, okay. One in that bathroom. So, I guess they just never noticed them. So yeah, they're a boiler with the retrofitted central air, and it works pretty darn good.
Yep, we've thought about doing something like that. If our third floor didn't have all the finished space, the way it is, it would be a no-brainer to put an attic-mounted forced air system that would take care of the second floor, and you know, take some closet space, and you get the ductwork down to the first floor, and you're good to go. But because of that, because of the way the third floor is configured, it's not an easy fit. It's possible. It can be done. You know, it just would require some finagling. We've also kind of looked into the split zone, you know, the split unit, sort of the Euro style, Japanese style, and that's not out of the option. It's not out of the question either. It's just, you know, the exterior configuration of the house is a little quirky, and you know, it's not an easy fit. So we've 23 years, you know, just sort of limped it along with a few window shakers and an R2-D2 unit, and you know, once August comes, or once September comes rolling around, where it's cooling back off.
Well, that was going to be the next question. Do you do it with window units? But you answered that, so you know, you could. I found that when, you know, before we had central, we had a you know, main one in the main area that we were in. It kept that area pretty good, not great, but it kept it pretty good. And then we just we had one in the bedroom where we slept, and so. That's the biggest one. You know, you can usually find a way to deal with it, but sleeping is just horrible. But I did it as a kid. Never had air when we were kids. When I was a kid, you would just get a fan and open the window, and you got through it.
Yep, we did that. When we bought the house, there were older window units in all the upstairs bedrooms. Each bedroom had a window unit, but it had kind of been permanently installed. You know, it had, you know, they used some caulking, and they basically permanently installed the darn things. And we used those for a few years, and we didn't like having it hanging out there in the winter, you know, so we finally pulled them out, and we can close the storm window and close the window in the winter, which was, you know, quieter and obviously warmer, which helped. And then in the spring, we got some better window units. You know, ceiling fans, you don't do a lot of baking in the kitchen in the summertime. It's just too hot. But it's all good. And listen to us. It's 15 degrees out or something today. W8FU, K8DB. Oh, by the way, again, I mentioned last night, your signal was strong, audio was clear, it was antenna, and your setup is doing fine on 75K8DB.
Well, one final thing on the AC units. I've got those split units at all my new tower sites, and now they're only trying to do a single room, but those rooms generate a lot of heat, so they've got a hell of a job keeping them cool, and those split units work pretty darn good. Anyhow, last night, so I wanted to kind of hear myself, and I had an SDR dialed up, but that guy from Indy. Now, you said Buffalo. I thought he said he was in Indianapolis, so I was a little confused. He was a nine-lander, but you said something about Buffalo, unless there was somebody else, and I didn't catch that. But anyhow, he got Gavin in there, and I wanted to check my audio, so I went down the band a little bit and started talking to myself on an SDR out of Columbus. And anyhow, I just kind of said, whatever, sounds okay to me. And then I just, I went back up, and he was still going on and on, so I just said, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, he was in Indy someplace, and yeah, he was a little chatty. and I guess I was, too. No, the Buffalo guy was the guy I mentioned that was interested in the one radio I had for sale separately. He was not on the air. But yeah, last night's guy was in Buffalo. Indy. So I rolled over to the old Drake C-line and fired it up and got the L4B plugged back in, and everything fired right up. You know, we chatted for a bit on that, and I, you know, followed the one hand on the VFO to compensate for the drift. But we chatted for a bit. There was another guy that popped in for, it was a guy here locally, Pete, W8BBM. He's right here in Bloomfield Hills. I've heard him on before. He kind of does some hi-fi audio on 80 and 160 and stuff. He popped in for a couple of rounds, and then we all got out. So, we were kind of late, but it was fun to blow the dust off down there.
Well, that would explain it. I heard you off frequency at one point. I says, wonder what's up with that. Were you trying to compensate for somebody who was a little off or what? But that would explain it.
Yeah, I hadn't run that in a while. Again, I need to get it onto the bench. The transmitter and the receiver both need an alignment, and I think the tubes, I think the PA tubes need to be neutralized in the transmitter. The amplifier's fine. There's no issues there. But the receiver and the transmitter both need an alignment after I did, you know, power supply rebuilds and recapping and retubing and stuff. I just never did that last important step. Got them back on the desk. I'm like, ooh, they work, and here they've stayed. So I got to do that one of these days. I've only been talking about it for like 2 years, 3 years.
I still got a L7 upgrade kit that I built it. I just haven't installed it yet. And I'd like to get that 7 line on the air. I had it on the air a little while back when I first got it. I had it on for a little while and got really good reviews, transmit audio, and it sounded fantastic receive-wise. All in all, I was very pleased with it. So looking forward to getting that one back out. That'll probably be my station B, that 7 line. But I don't know, that 930 is, I got a little bit of effort more than anything invested in that. Not so much money-wise, but I got some effort into it to get it where it's at now. I got the power supply all upgraded, and I've got the logic board replaced and all upgraded. So I'm looking forward to playing with that a little bit too. The one, I got a complete 830 station, and that's the one that's probably going to have to move along because, I don't know, I don't see where that would fit in the whole grand scheme of things. But I picked that one up broken and fixed it as well, so whatever. 830 is a great radio.
Yeah, 8:30 is on my short list if I was to move along the Drake Sea Lion stuff and say, all right, well, that was fun. Let's move along to somebody maybe for the right price who can finish the rest of the work that it needs. If I wanted to have a studio be 8:30 would probably be at the top of that list. A nice one that had all the usual repairs and things done. So I don't relish the maintenance and the upkeep and the repairs and the older stuff. You know, I just want to be able to go turn it on and use it and have it work. And so there's a lot less to go wrong with an 830, for instance, a lot less maintenance that it would need than, say, the C-Line. But that's probably at the top of my list. 930s are nice, but they've never really held a big appeal to me. So 830 or a Tentec Omni 6 Plus, that's also been one that's always caught my eye. Every now and then I'm like, oh, that would be a really nice radio to have on the B desk.
Was the Omni 6 Plus, did that still have that beige brown combo color scheme like the Paragon when it first came out? And the Omni 6, was just it wasn't their foray into their early digital stuff, right?
Nope, I think the Omni 6 Plus was the last of that beige style rig that looked like the Paragon, and the Omni 6 was kind of crystal mixed receiver handbands only, and then the Omni 6 Plus added some DSP stuff, kind of early DSP, and then from there I think they went into the Omni 7 is more or less a digital radio, and I think there were a couple of smaller things there too, and then right around that time was the Orion, so they were putting a lot of their research and development was going into the Orion, and sort of going in the direction of the digital radio. But yeah, Omni 6 Plus was the last of their analog discrete circuitry stuff. Nice CW rig.
Yeah, I really, really liked my Omni 6. I had the 6 with the power supply and the, or did I have a 5? They looked the same, I think. Anyhow, I think it wasn't a 6 Plus, I know that for sure, but anyhow, I did like that Omni. I had the power supply speaker and the amp, the Centurion. Got it from John. John had the Paragon and the Omni. And I got the Omni and the Centurion, and then he sold the Titan and the Paragon to somebody else. But the only problem was I kept hitting it a little too hard, and I kept getting, we were up on 3901 on phone, and the guys down on 3898 would always come up, grabbing, you're wide, and I just couldn't get that thing. They're always complaining about it, so that was probably the biggest reason I dumped it. Because that was what I was doing with it, and it was not doing the job right. I probably could have figured it out, but I didn't move it along. But I did really like it otherwise. If I wasn't getting yelled at for being wide, it was a wonderful radio. And that whole era series, I'll tell you what, if I could find a really, really nice Corsair setup, the whole Corsair, and that one's kind of got a soft spot in my heart because, John, WIL, had the Corsair set up. He had the earlier color scheme one, which was kind of a darker, brown. And then the last, I think, iteration of that was in the new style, whatever, the beige, And if I could find a complete Corsair setup, and the price is right, that's one I'd probably, against my better judgment, have to grab.
Yeah, I'm familiar with those. So, yeah, the earlier Corsair was the dark one, and then the Corsair 2 was the one that was, I think that was the first one that had the beige color scheme that was kind of the segue into the Paragon style. Yeah, those were great radios. If I recall correctly, I owned the one that John had when he had the Corsair, and I think he traded it into Michigan Radio when he got his 765. And then my friend Bill, KF8FK, I think he bought it from Michigan Radio, and he used it for a long time. And then I bought it from him when I was in college, I think. I was in high school, maybe. I don't remember, but I bought it. I bought it from him. I used that for a while and eventually sold it to another guy locally. A lot of QSOs made on that radio. Every once in a while, I see a Corsair that comes along. The only thing is that I do think they require maintenance on the PTO. There's some, restringing or some gears or some lubrication or something like that. They do need maintenance, and it's not soldering iron type maintenance. It's something other than that. So if you've got somebody who'd already done that, great. But I know that that's a concern with those from that era. TABB.
Behind a car, and their license plate is called cattywampus on the back of their car. It's like one side's significantly lower than the other. It drives me nuts. I couldn't stand that. That would drive me absolutely batty. Oh, they don't seem to care. Good for them. And the sun is giving me some grief. I'm trying to get over to the right. I'm heading south. As I look to the right to see if it's clear, which it's not, the sun is taking me out. But I digress. Anyhow, old rigs of yesteryear. We like them. My affinity for the 930 was, it was kind of like one of the only ones I didn't own. I had a 940. Really liked it. Had an 850. Really liked that. And, I've pined for a 950 and never had one. I don't think I would get one now. I think those radios are showing up with problems, and I think they're just complicated enough to make it you got to be pretty willing to deal with it. I don't know how willing I am. I'd have to read up a lot before I find like a 950. What I do like is you can get on and do that. Wideband audio stuff. Those are like one of the preferred rigs. But I guess the guys with the flexes and stuff and the anons, I guess they're doing it no problem. They just say, want 10K audio, and the way they go, no muss, no fuss.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think the 950 series is one of those radios that has some age-related problems and difficult to service. They've always been interesting. I always thought the sub-receiver in that was just not a very good receiver. So it was ahead of its time as far as, trying to put two receivers in one box and all that. Very cool setup, but the sub-receiver just wasn't a great receiver. And I think it got canned for that. But, yeah, the hi-fi audio stuff is cool, 950, 850. I think the 870, too, the 870 also is one of those. I don't really follow that stuff too much. But, I got this. I saw this ad that somebody was looking for an ICOM 775, so I sent him an email last night. We talked earlier. We sent some pictures and text back and forth. And I don't think we have an agreement. I think I'm being greedy, and I think he's being reasonable, so... I told him, I said, let me think about this. I'll get back with you in a couple of days. So we'll see. I've talked myself out of selling it at this point, but I don't know.
Well, it's such a nice radio, and, you've got a hell of a deal on it, so you can, you don't have to be in a rush or anything like that. But if you're not, if you're not really using it, what are you thinking? You're going to just go to your primary, your 77, and then whatever studio B is at any given moment. You're going to pretty much just get down to that. We're not going to do any SO2R or anything anymore. Or if you do, you're going to do it with the boat anchor. Without that.
Oh, no, I might as well bang my head against the wall. No, I would just get something else. It would just be like, all right, this was a good one to have here on the desk. It replaced the 781. It performs better than the 781. 781's another one that's, starting to show its age, and very not easy to service. So, you know, this was an upgrade from that. So it would just be, you know, all right, well, I've got an empty spot now and a few dollars. You know, maybe I'll fill it with something else. The 7700 would likely not leave. There's, if I had an opportunity to get another 7700, that's a no-brainer. I mean, it is easily the best radio I've ever used, except for the 7800, and I've never used any of the ones after that, the 7851. Every now and then I see a good 7800 come along that would be like, wow, that would be great, because then you get the double receiver and you can work pileups a lot easier. But, you know, why do I need a radio with that like that if I have dipoles in a tree? 38RUH.
Good afternoon, Anthony. We're just talking rate videos here. What's up?
Not much, just listening in. Don't have much to offer, just wanted to say hello and hope everybody had a good day.
Okay, welcome. Yeah, we're just reminiscing about old radios that I could never afford when I was a kid.
Isn't that kind of what it's about? You know, you pine for the radios you couldn't have when you were a kid. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that, you know, the old Collins stuff and things like that, those weren't us. You know, those were people a little bit ahead of us. You know, a few of us got into it for the most part, you know, and now there's nobody who wants them. I saw, did you see that KWS-1 with a pair of 7584s and a speaker and everything? Did you see that for sale?
I did not. I have not watched. For a while I was, you know, just kind of really paying attention to the usual swap places. I have not lately. So for some weeks or months, I haven't been paying much attention. And those don't always catch my eyes. You know, those are way too big and way too. Those generally just are not on my radar. So even if I did see it, I might not have connected. The KWS-1. That's not the thing that's in the big tall rack, is it? I know what a 7584 is, but is KWS-1 the big rack transmitter?
Well, it's a PAX tool, and the transmitter is the same size as a 7584, and it sits on top of a castered, you know, almost looks like a Henry amp on casters, and then the receiver's matching. I've got a pair. I've got a KWS-1 7584 loaded up with filters and all that. At one time, probably a $3,000 setup. Now I'd be lucky to get what I paid for it. This guy's got the... two of the 7584s, speaker, cable AS1, 12-9 yards, and he's got like $1,300 for the whole works. It's like, oh my God. Anyhow, Anthony, go ahead. Sorry.
No problem. You guys are speaking in code, basically. I don't know anything about the assumed older radios that you guys are talking about. So, just listening, see if I can take a little bit in and maybe recognize something when I see it, but maybe I'll see something. I plan on heading over to that swap on Sunday. I don't know if you're going over there, Sean, but plan on being there early. Hopefully I can find my single sideband radio over there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Don, we're trying to get Anthony into some sort of an all mode, something like a 736 would be probably ideal, but just about anything.
Yeah, swap Sunday would be a good time. Actually, I've got some stuff I need to take in, so I put that on my calendar a while back, and I haven't thought about it. Maybe in the next day or two I can put together a pile of stuff and see if there's a table available. Of course, there'll be a table available. Go and see what I can get rid of and not come home with and get some breakfast afterwards. Like a VHF UHF all mode is what you meant. I should probably figure out a rotation. Over to you, Anthony. PABB.
Yeah, that's like a 857 or a Icon 7000 or a 706 are the kind of some of the recommendations that I've gotten so far. Or a FT, 991. Kind of open, just hoping I find something that's, you know, I'm not looking for the score of the century, but something that's reasonably priced and in good condition. Sean, did we lose you?
Wow, he must have got an important phone call. Yeah, I'm familiar with most of those. Yeah, those are all good, you know, those are all good radios. They've all got their strengths. You know, they're all reasonably affordable. It's a lot of them, you know. So I think sometimes people call them a shack in the box because they do HF and VHF and all modes and all that. You can, you know, you can get one radio that does a lot and that does most of those things reasonably well. Most of the ones you rattled off all meet that criteria. I think the 7000 is kind of, you know, one of those. So it's like, well, maybe that one does a little better than all the others, but the 991, I think, is newer technology, so there may be some advantages there. I'm not real familiar with a lot of those cases, the 857, the 891, the 897. I don't know that I could pick any of those out of a lineup.
Yeah, actually, the 857 and the 891 look very similar form factor-wise, but 891 doesn't have that UHF, VHF functionality to it. So, and that's what I'm looking for. I've been, Sean and Dakota have been talking about how they're getting on VHF single sideband and getting all over town, and sounds like a ton of fun. And so now I'm on a mission looking for a radio that has that same opportunity, just because it sounds fun to be getting longer distances out of VHF. You know, they're talking 30 miles and stuff like that. So just piqued my interest, and so now I'm trying to find something.
Sorry about that. Got sidetracked.
That's right. Go ahead.
Well, I did just walk in the door, so I'm going to tend to some things here. Let you guys carry on and be back in here shortly. I got to figure out what's going on here. Plus, I got a bunch of stuff in the mail I've been waiting on, so gonna go through that. Anthony, I'll keep my eye peeled. Maybe I'll maybe we can meet up at the swap and get lunch afterwards or something. Who knows? W8FU.
Sounds good, Sean. I will catch up with you soon. I'm actually just down the street from my house, so I'll probably do one more go-round. But I may reach out to you tomorrow about those Motorolas that I sent you in Discord. So I will. I'll catch up with you. KE8RUH. Like I said, it'll be one more round.
Okay. Yeah, I'm. I should probably head upstairs. I'm supposed to be working, but came down here to do something radio related, and I just didn't get back upstairs. So, well, nice chatting. And yeah, if we get to the swap on Sunday, we'll probably meet. I'm going to make every effort to. Well, today I say I'm going to make every effort to go there. We'll see how I feel Saturday night and Sunday morning. It's awfully early. Like you, I got some stuff I gotta get cleared out of here, so that'll be good for me. Anyhow, so all right, we'll drive safe, and maybe we'll catch maybe we'll get to meet on Sunday. I don't think we've met. KE8RUH, K8BB.
All right, KABD. Good talking to you. And yeah, I will keep an eye peeled, and hopefully we can meet in person on Sunday. I will catch up with you soon. KE8RUH. Have a great day.
K8 Booger Booger.
from W8 Fancy Underpants.
Wake Sue from K8 Bubba.
Hey, there you are. I was in Nino's today, and I was going to, I forgot to mention this earlier when we were talking. They had some Yellowstone up on the shelf, but there was a wide range. There was like two bottles at 59, there was a bottle at 44, there was even a bottle at 39, so I got confused. So I figured I better get more information.
I don't think I have more information. So the bottle that I have that was of discussion a couple of nights ago was their it's some sort of a collection, the Finnish collection or the barrel collection or the something like that, a toasted collection maybe, and so that particular bottle was the second barreling in with toasted oak staves in the barrel. They stick the extra barrels, stick the extra staves in the barrel. That's all I can go up and look at the bottle, but that's all I know. What I don't know is what the other things are. I don't know the, you know, high, middle, low of that line. Just that one bottle, really.
I think there might have been a Fred voice in there. It was nothing but noise. And that's a total guess. But just to circle back on the Yellowstone bottle, next time you're up there, just take a snapshot of it with your camera and just text it to me. No rush. I'm not going out to get one tonight or anything like that, but just so I have it in my, I can just bring it up and go, okay, that's it. Anyhow, who was that? Was that Fred? Did you forget to put your antenna back outside?
I think it fell over. Hold on.
You're perfect now.
Yeah, I went to the other channel.
Hey, there you are. So, now that we can hear it's Fred, what the heck did you say?
Well, you can't argue with that.
I think the receiver's out on Holly.
Oh, joy. More work.
Hold on, let me see.
How do you get a tower monkey up on power when it's 5 degrees out? So anyway, I just texted over the bottle. I had the photo from when I took it the other night, duh. So it's their special finishes collection is what it says. And so there's some blurb on the bottle about it. But yeah, check it out. They've got good, you know, the regular stuff is good. It's a good value price. And then the special stuff, obviously this one was really good. I'd get another bottle of this in a minute. My hunch is it's probably in the $50 to $60 range based on where I think I got it, but it could be wrong.
All right, sorry. So was it the toasted one or the rum one? Because they have two special finished ones, but what I said before was that started off as a gag, you know, for a cat money grab. But then the whiskey they actually produced was good enough to where it now has turned into a legit brand.
Oh, is it somehow tied to the show?
That I don't know. The bottle says since 1872, Limestone Branch Distillery Company, Lebanon, Kentucky, seventh generation family distillery. So, I don't know. According to the bottle, they've got provenance. But this is the toasted. This is the toasted finish. I actually don't care for the whiskeys that are finished in rum barrels. I've had whiskeys and ryes that are in the Caribbean rum casks, and I don't tend to like those. But this one was terrific.
Okay, well, I know what to look for now. That garbage truck just about run me off the road here. Good grief. Anyhow, I am pulling into the Hollywood Market. I got to go do a little shopping for a couple odds and ends and then place an order at the restaurant in the same plaza. So I will listen out, and then I'll probably be parked and going in. W8FU.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to run back upstairs. I heard you call, and I was upstairs, and I heard you on the HT, but I had to come down here to get in. So I'm going to head back upstairs. And so, Fred, good to hear you. Thanks for chiming in. Catch you guys later. T-A-B-B.
Yes, sir. I feel like it was featured on there, but then a couple of the actors started the Lady Cave. They started the Lady Cave, which has its own bourbon as well. Alright, I'm going to reset 2350 through RTCM, and I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to
Hey Dakota, how's it going? Hey, TMR.
Good evening. I'm chilling, man. Tomorrow's Friday. How are you?
Not doing too bad. A little tired today. Didn't get much sleep last night at work, but I'm off for the next four, so can't complain.
Yeah, that's a good stretch of time off. I bet the weather's not exactly conducive to doing anything fun outdoors. You been hunting at all?
No, not too much. I went out, I think I told you I got that 8-point. And then went out a couple of times after. It was just windy and nasty and haven't been out. So I was going to try tomorrow. I think tomorrow's the 5th. That's the open muzzleloader. Just gonna give that a try and see, but man, it's supposed to get pretty cold, I heard. How about you? Anything else?
No, I haven't been out since I shot that last. No, I did go out after I shot that deer that weekend, though, or that week, Wednesday or something. And haven't been out since, but I think I'm gonna go out Saturday morning, hopefully. I need two more. If I get two more, I'm calling it a season. But that's very minimum. I need one for myself. And then I got a buddy who's been on me about it. So I'm going to try to get out Saturday morning. Probably that's going to be the only day I hunt. My wife's working this weekend, so I got my mom watching the kids. But no, not much, man. Just been busy with work. I've hardly even been playing much radio. Try to do that a little bit this weekend too. I don't know if he'll be around or not, but I guess the guys were on 80 last night, and it was doing pretty damn good, so I'd like to try that out. And I know that with that 710 on your wire, you'll be able to do it. Not that you and I really need anything. We could probably talk dummy load to dummy load. We're so close.
You said you were on 80?
Yeah, I don't think we're getting a bounce signal here. I think we're literally just talking antenna to antenna. We're so close. We're getting ground wave.
Yeah, I was going to say that I don't have that the wire for 80. Remember, it ended up snapping on me. And then when I went to rebuild it and put it up, I ended up, something was going on. And when I went to tune it, I cut too much. So instead of going back and redoing it all, I just ended up cutting it and tuning it for 40. But too cold to get out there and set it all up for 80. I'd like to do that in the spring again, because that was kind of nice.
I'm pretty sure that 710 will tune 40-meter long wire for 80. Probably won't be super great, but it should work. And I ordered the same exact antenna that you have. That's what I threw out the other day. And I haven't even, I think I transmitted one time on it. So I would like to do some HF stuff. I have not done any with that 705. So now that it's full-blown radio season and the weather sucks, I need to start making more of an effort to do that.
Yeah, I jumped on, I was on the HF side the other day, a couple days ago, messing around, and the bands weren't, I think it was 2 days ago maybe, they weren't too great, but not too bad.
I was listening last weekend, I think, maybe? Yeah, last weekend I was listening like Saturday morning, and bands were alright. You could definitely tell there was some stuff going on. But there was plenty of dudes out there talking on 40. But I was saying yesterday morning, ever since I worked all 50 states when from hunting them, I kind of like, I don't know what to do now with HF. I mean, I can still hunt POTA, obviously, right? But like the objective isn't there anymore, unless I just want to get like POTA awards. But yeah, I'm hoping that these guys start to do this 80-meter thing a little bit more. We can maybe have a 80-meter net once a week or something like that. I just want to use my HF stuff. I've been so focused on UHF, VHF lately, which, don't get me wrong, I love. I'm having a good time on it, but 705 is meant to do a little bit more than I'm using it for.
You said you ended up buying that same antenna again? Was it the 80-meter wire?
Yeah, same exact antenna. Literally, like, went to my purchase history and reordered it. If you hit that dude up, that's Nelson Antennas on eBay. I don't think you need to hit him up. I'm pretty sure he sells just the wire kit for that antenna, and it's pretty inexpensive. The antenna's only, like, $110, so I want to say the wire's 40 or less.
Yeah, I think I looked it up when I broke it the first time, and then I ended up buying, I think I bought just a spool of wire, ended up wrapping the coil and doing it all, and then something was going on when I went to tune it, and it was my bad. I don't know if I was rushing it or what, but ended up cutting way too much off the 80, and was pretty much fed up by that time, so I ended up just cutting it down to 40 so I could jump on and continue using it. But I still have extra wire left, so I just need to run it out and get it up in that tree again. Figure something out, because once that wind starts whipping, it really, really cranks on that wire.
I was talking to Greg the other day, because he's got 130-something foot end fed at his house, but he doesn't have enough room to run it straight out, so it kind of zigzags around. And he's got, like, springs on the end of the insulator and then on the end of the transformer. So as that thing moves around and trees move and whatever else the wind pulls on it, it's got a little bit of play and give so it doesn't snap. I was thinking that might be a viable option for you.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. That actually might work. It's not bad. I mean, I left it right now. I left enough slack. I mean, it's nice and angled, but I left enough slack, and the tree that it's in now doesn't whip as bad as the other one I had it in. So, but if I go back to the 80-meter wire, I'm going to have to do something, because that tree's got a lot of, it moves a lot. Are you just getting out of work?
Dude, this radio, I got to program it tonight. For some reason, every time I turn it off, the Warn repeater will change the PL.
What radio is that? Are you in your truck?
All right, no, I'm in my wife's truck. And I don't know why, but there's two PLs. There's an R tone and a C tone. And the R tone's 107.2 for Warren, and then the C tone's 123 like it's supposed to be. But every time I turn off the radio, it reverts back.
that's weird. Is that the, that's the 2730 you said?
Yeah, other than that, it's great. I love this thing. I told you, I bought the armor lock for it. I bought the RF relocation bracket, and that made a big difference. It's a lot cleaner now. And then I got a couple other knickknacks coming for the bag to make it convenient. It just sits on the, she doesn't have a full console in her truck. She's got, like, the front bench seat with the jump seat, and I just put it on the floor right under the radio, and it's perfect.
Probably a little better than using your HD.
Yeah, fading well.
Yeah, I've been super happy with it. I like it way more than my other radio, just audio-wise, and I think it looks better. But it's probably just the honeymoon phase and the cool factor of, look it, I have a bag phone. I heard an AYO station. Go ahead. Maybe not.
Did you ever end up getting a new antenna for that, or are you still using that signal stick?
I bought I've got a Diamond Mag mount with a Comet FCD1, like a little 16-inch one, and it's been working out pretty good. I just don't like that I got to shove the cable in the door, but I don't know. The other one I've had for 3 years, and it still works doing that, so I guess it'll be all right.
Yeah, that always made me nervous with mine. I was afraid one day I was going to slam it too hard, and there it goes. But for the most part on mine, before I got the Comet, I would just crack the back slider window and bring it in there.
That's not a bad idea either, but this is a cheap truck, and it doesn't have one of those either.
All right, well, there goes that idea. How's the antenna at home holding up? Still good?
Yeah, it's been good. I don't love how it's leaning, so I'm debating if I want to lower. I'm probably going to lower it like another foot or two just to get that top section that's canted out further in the bottom of the section below it. I think that'll straighten it out. But other than that, it's been great, man. I appreciate the help on it.
Yeah, no problem. So it's just the top section that's leaning? Did you ever, because you thought it was bowed on the bottom, it ended up just being that top?
Coming out of that crater, I usually drive them, so I don't know if I'm making it in okay, but when I was in those pictures that first went so bad, I set a few, I was standing directly under it, I put a level on it, totally plumb at the first, like, 20 feet of it, and then I even went as far as undoing the first bracket, so it could freestand, because remember I thought I had to get the spacers for that bracket to push it off the wall. When I was standing under it, I unbolted it, and I was letting it freestand, so it was just the top bracket holding it. I realized that it's the top two sections that the bend's at. So even that top bracket, it's perfectly plumb. There's no angle, nothing. It's almost as if there's too much play in the tubing, and it's like leaning to one side. So I don't know if I just didn't tighten it correctly, if I've got to, like, center it and clamp it, I don't know. So I think what I'm going to do is probably in the spring, or if we ever get a nice day, which I don't think is happening anytime soon, get back up there and lower each section maybe a foot, and I bet you that'll make it go away.
Interesting.
What's for dinner?
Mama wanted a chicken wrap or something like that, I forget. And I just got a couple of conies. Just felt like some conies. I don't know why.
That sounds so good. I'm on the fat man diet. You got Phil out here. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Sean, how's it going? Yeah, conies do sound really good. I am also on the fat man diet myself. Yeah, the bun's the only part that's a problem for me. But I got one, the super one with the ground beef on it. So plenty of protein. Should fill me up pretty good for two dogs. And I don't know, I was looking at the menu and I saw they had the Kogel hot dogs, which I really like. And I'd never been to this place, so I figured, let's give it a try. Plus I got some shopping done at the shopping center right next door. So it's all good. Anyhow, what's exciting? Not a whole lot, just nerd talking about antennas and radios on the way home here. And I think I finally fixed my Warren channel. I don't know why, but I had the wrong PL in one of the, it was in the R tone, which I'm assuming is the receive tone. I don't know, but it kept reverting to 107.2 every time I changed the channel. I think I got that finally fixed. But yeah, not much. Just heading home, starving. Like I said, I'm on the fat man diet, so my calorie intake's about a quarter of what it usually is. It's going better than I thought it would. I switched back on a factor, so my lunches are mindless and I don't want to say healthy, but much better than me eating fast food or garbage every day. So by the time I get home, I'm pretty damn hungry.
Yeah, I've been doing the chicken and rice. About getting sick of it, but I figured I'd start it now because if I can make it, get on track and make it through the holidays, that'd make eating around Christmas and all that stuff a little easier.
Chicken and rice, good stuff. Protein, but the carbs that kill me with the rice, I gotta find a riced cauliflower or something like that to substitute. Brown rice, whole grain noodles, but I might try that factor. I know we talked about that, Dakota. How long you been back on the factor?
I remember doing that diet, Phil. I would just saturate it in hot sauce, Sweet Baby Ray's hot sauce, and kind of ruined it for me. I'm not gonna lie. And this is my first week back on, and it makes so much sense for me because I was spending so much money eating out every day, eating complete garbage. So this is my first week back. I'm doing six meals a week. And then, their menu, since last time I've been back, man, I'm not going to lie, it's actually impressive what they have and how good it is. I can send you, text me your email, or unless the QRZ one's good, but I can send you an invite, and I think it saves you like $150 if you do, like, if you, over six boxes or something, there's no commitment, but it saves you like $150 over the course of them. So if you want to try it, it's I sent one to a girl I work with. She got her first week with $35.
Yeah, I know what you mean about saturating it with hot sauce. I ended up finding, I think it's by like G. Hughes or something. It's like sugar-free. I forget the kind of sauce it is, but he makes all kinds of, like, barbecue sauce and all that. It almost tastes like a Chinese food. It's pretty good, but, you know, I need to switch it up. You know, it's getting old.
Well, I'll have to get in there and look at their menu. Now, are you buying from their regular menu, or are you buying from, Do they work with you, like your body, your body weight, your height, and how many calories you should have, or is it anything like that? I'm not sure. I know they have diabetic-friendly meals that are low on the carbs, or, you know, they use complex carbs and stuff, so I'll probably be leaning toward those. I don't know if those are still just as good, right, because I might start out with, like, regular meals, and then switch. That way I can judge them based on their regular meals and then, not judge them on the cardboard ones that I need for my health.
Phil, if you want, I can send you a box too, but send me a link to that sauce. I'm always down to try sauce, especially eating things. I eat rice constantly. I mean, I substitute any carb I can with rice because I just like white rice. And, yeah, Sean, they've got, like, keto, they've got high protein, they've got vegetarian. Their app's crazy. If you download it, you'll see there's so many more options than the last time I did this. The portions are all the same. They all come in, like, a same size container with the same serving size and all that. So nothing, like, tailored to BMI or height and calories and things like that. But I will say the highest meal calorie content I've eaten so far was today. And it was 700 calories, and it was, what the hell was it? Southwest Tangy Chicken. So it had, like, a sweet, spicy sauce, and I'm sure that's where a lot of it came from. Cream corn, which I'm sure that's where a lot of it came from, too, and then potatoes. So that was the most calorically dense meal I've had. Like, the last one I ate yesterday was 440 calories. So as long as I stick with that, I mean, I got to imagine the weight's going to fly off again like it did last time, because I was probably eating, I'm not exaggerating, at least 1,000 calories at lunch, if not 2, because we ate like complete slobs for the last 6 months.
I loved Factor when I was on it. It was just cost-wise.
Dakota, is that kind of like a Nutrisystem deal? Like pre-packaged meals and all that you heat up?
So, yeah, so Fred, you'll have to comment cost-wise negative or cost-wise okay, because I'm thinking I spend more than, well, I don't know what the price is yet. I got to wait and see. But when I look at what I spend right now to eat out every day, I can't imagine I'm going to spend more. So you might comment on that when it comes back around. But anyhow, Dakota, go ahead and answer. And I'm just curious about what a meal runs.
NADF. Yeah, Phil, it's pre-made meals, never frozen. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes and you eat. They come pre-packaged and everything. They're owned by HelloFresh, so if you like HelloFresh, you'll probably like the quality of Factor. But I get my every Monday, and I get 6 meals a week, and then I carry one over for the following Monday, so I have it. But that covers 5 lunches and then 1 day that my wife works that I don't have to worry about feeding myself. So you can pick however many meals you want, I think down to 3 or 4. And Sean, in my experience, the meals break out to be $10 to $11 a piece, which I know for a fact is cheaper than what I was doing. Relatively inexpensive, especially in today's day and age of how much food costs. My first week was $63, and this week for 6 meals it just renewed. I think I got a snack with it, because that's the other thing. They got juices, coffees, snacks, breakfast. There's the whole frickin' menu. If I could afford it, that's all I would eat, because then I don't have to think about it. But this week was $84 for 6 meals. So, again, like $11, $12, it's really not that bad. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I want to say I was on the 8 or 10 meal, and it was, I want to say $11 to $12 a meal. And it was,
I loved it.
Because of, you know, I just didn't, when I moved to the new house, I did it because I just didn't have time, and I loved it. But then Michelle started doing meal prep for me because we could do it cheap. She did it cheaper. Granted, I would have the same thing every day for lunch for a week or whatever, but I loved the variety. I loved picking the meals and just doing it. And if I wasn't a good husband, I'd be on it again still, because, I mean, I don't go out. You guys think I don't go out to eat very often during the weekend. I don't order DoorDash. So for me, it's like the only time I do eat out really is if I, you know, I'm out in the field or something. And then Michelle, sometimes if she knows I'm going out, she'll pack me a lunch anyways. But I want to say it was $10 to $12 a meal, and I was doing the 8 or 10 plan a week. But selection-wise, I think there was a couple. I did care for one of them, one or two of them. I just didn't order those ones again. But 3/4 of them, 9/10 of them, what I picked was great. Go ahead, Sean. Oh, yes, sir.
I think Phil goes next.
Yeah, I tried that. $10 a meal, that's not too bad. I mean, you figure the convenience and all that. I've never done that. I've tried the Nutrisystem, and it was all right. You know, some of it was good. Some of it tastes like, you know, cardboard box, but I did lose some weight, and it was easy, convenient. You knew what you were eating. You know, it helped me not cheat and stuff. Okay, TMR.
Yeah, so the reason I'd want it is to, you know, for portion control, you know, because when I go out to eat, you know, I spend, it is a little bit more expensive if I had self-control, because I go out and I spend probably $13-14 on lunch, because you can't hardly get out of any place for less than that. But they give you two meals worth of food, right? You know, if I were to break it up into two meals and save the other half and, you know, some things save better than others, you know, then maybe I, you know, but my discipline is zero. You know, I have every intention of only eating half and you know, and then I pick at it. You know, after I get to the halfway point, I pick at it, and then I'm like, well, I might as well finish it. provide a dollar for every time I said that. I do have a trick, though, when I do that, is I just cut it right in half before I even stick a fork in it, and I ask for a box right with the meal. And I put half right away, and then that works for me when I do that. But that would be another good way to kind of, you know, get me in the portion mindset. All right, I'm backing in the driveway here. So, oh man, trash night again? That's right. Backing in the driveway, so I will listen round and maybe chime back in a bit. Dakota, W8FU.
Yeah, I was telling my wife this morning, because she's all for it, right? You know, no one wants to see their husband get fat and die from heart failure at 50, which I'm sure I'm not too far away from if I kept eating the way it was. But I was telling her, it's like, I can now just throw something in my lunchbox, go to work, eat it, not spend any additional money, not gorge myself, because that was always my problem. I'd order Taco Bell, I'd order $20 worth of Taco Bell and eat all of it, because it's in front of me, why not? And that's how I've been literally since I was a kid. I just eat. But back then I was active. I played sports. I was a college athlete. It didn't matter. And then now I sit behind a desk all day. It matters. But, you know, I like Fred said, the variety's great. I've had maybe one or two things. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that again. And you get a little burned out because majority of the sides are green beans or broccoli, which I don't care for broccoli, and you kind of get sick of eating green beans, but I just told myself to just truck through it from now on because it beats getting a side of french fries or whatever the hell else I'd be getting. So, yeah, for me, it's a win all around. It's cost-effective, it's good, food's good, and, you know, it's better for you than all the processed stuff. I mean, like, literally, a week, I don't even want to add it up, but I bet you there's weeks where I'm spending $200 a week on DoorDash. Not necessarily just for me, but my coworker and I, we would kind of just go back and forth ordering stuff, and it was not uncommon for us to spend $50 on lunch. $50 for just both of us to eat because fees, how much everything costs, how much food we got, tip. So it all added up. So it's nice that I could go to and from work without spending a dollar now.
All this talk of food has made me hungry, and I'm going to go upstairs, or I'm going to clock out, and I'm going to go make dinner. But, yeah, I love the Factor.
Yeah, like Sean said earlier, my issue was the portion control thing, too, and that's what kind of got me on track, you know, the Nutrisystem, and then after doing that a couple of times, then I switched over to kind of prepping my own stuff. So I'll do like a cup of chicken, a cup of rice, and then that sauce, and then throw in some vegetables. You know, you fall off the wagon, and then you start eating, and then you got to get back on track. So probably the portion control meals would help get back on track again, because after I started that, I had no problem making them myself. But once you get off of it, it's like super hard to get back on.
I'll always eat better tomorrow, and that's what it felt like I was doing. It's like,
like, yeah, I'll pack lunch tomorrow. I'll order Factor tomorrow. I'll bring leftovers tomorrow. And it was always the next day. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't bring a lunch. What are we getting? And for a while, I was eating Chipotle as much as I could. Because, in my opinion, I don't think it's that bad. I'm sure it's not great. But it kind of tastes like garbage. And that was expensive. So then I finally, I was like, all right, you know, time to figure this out. And, yeah, I'm happy with it. I feel better. I sleep better. I have some intolerance to gluten, so a lot of processed crap I was eating was making that worse. But yeah, I have no complaints about factors. So Phil, if you want to send you that, I can send you a referral code that we did a small week and you can get 100% off for a week or something. Not a week. I don't know how they break it down, but like I said, the girl I sent it to our work, she had her first
question for Dakota is W8RCY. When you have these meals at lunch, do they fill you up enough to tie you over to when you get home for dinner, or are you like, by the time you get home, you're just starved? So I guess it's more like a portion size question. Do you still feel filled after having lunch, and does it carry you over to dinner?
I'll answer real quick. There's definitely a mental portion of this where, like, yeah, I can keep eating, but I, like, the last 2 days I brought my lunch, which was just a Factor meal, and a two blended diet. That's all I had, and I ate that today at noon. I'm not even home yet. I'm hungry, but I'm not like, oh my god, I gotta stop and get something on the way home hungry. So I'm gonna go inside and hang out with the kids, say hi, and then whatever my wife made, and that's probably it. So, to answer your question, I mean, they're not like, you're not going to be, I just ate Thanksgiving dinner because that's full, but it's hearty enough food that when you eat it, you're like, okay, like, I'm good, and you kind of just go about your day. Short answer long, I'm okay with it, but like I said, there's definitely a mental element to it where, yeah, I could definitely keep eating, but I tell myself, no, fat ass.
Okay, thank you for the commentary and the help there, because I'm going to be looking at it. Like I said, I might order that in a couple weeks or the week before Christmas. I'll try it that week, and if I like it, I will start the program after the first of the year as part of my New Year's resolution to maintain the weight that I've lost and cut back on the DoorDash stuff. I've already cut back on the DoorDash stuff. I'm only ordering DoorDash like 3 times a week versus 5 to 6 times a week. All right, thank you for your time. Everybody have a good night. W8RCY.
Yeah, I think like the first week, you know, was probably the toughest, and then you kind of get accustomed to it. I was more hungry like the first week. I was trying to fill up with snacks, you know, vegetables and better snacks, but after like the first week, then I kind of got used to it, and then I was actually full, you know, for the Nutrisystem thing. I can only imagine if the Factor thing sounds a lot better food than what the Nutrisystem was.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Once you do it for a bit, you kind of just like, all right, that was lunch. Next, kind of just get on with your day. I'm sure part of it is from overeating, your stomach starts to shrink back up. So I've been doing intermittent fasting too. So black coffee until noon, and then I can only eat until 8. So I'm sure that's going to help subside some of that appetite. But on that note,
talking to you guys. I'm going to get upstairs. The wife's home.
see what the little one's up to, and maybe, like I said, I'll try to jump back on later, too. So, everyone have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon. KTMR.
KF8AYO and ADBF, did we lose you earlier?
ADBF, how are you doing tonight?
I'm not so bad. How about you? I heard you earlier when we were talking, but I made room for you. You didn't come back. Did we drop you?
I don't think I called out here earlier today. I did a couple of days ago, but I may have called out once today early this afternoon, but I didn't hear any response.
All right, I could be wrong. It might have been a similar call.
How's my signal, by the way? I just moved my antenna and changed my connections and whatnot. When this is still clear.
You're coming in just fine. Which repeater are you on?
I'm on the BERT repeater off the WCMN network up here in BERT's run.
Well, you sound good. Nice and quiet, no noise, good signal. I don't know how far you are from it or what you're running for gear, but you sound good.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to it, but I moved my antenna. I'm only about 4 or 5 miles from that repeater, but yeah, I moved the antenna the other day and wasn't sure how I was doing because I hadn't talked to anybody on it since.
Well, you sound good. Sounds like you're doing fine. What do you, is that antenna inside or outside?
Well, my little radio shack is a dead car in the back of the barn, but the antenna is mounted on a tree out in front. I'm in kind of in a forest here, but yeah, I'm not far from that repeater, so it's pretty easy to hit. I can hit it with an HD real easy, but this is a 50-watt mobile, but I got it down on 6 watts right now. I think that's good for this.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to need any more than that. Like I said, you're full quieting in here.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, it's going to get pretty cold here tonight, I guess. I'm going to have to go in and reload the wood stove here, and our wife's probably getting cold inside.
I've got my furnace up to 69, and it's still cold in my house. What's it supposed to get down to?
Here they're saying about 8 degrees tonight, but, you know, when it gets to the single digits, it can be off by many. Who knows? It was fairly cold last night. It got down to 15 last night, but yeah, if it gets in the singles, I might have to fire up the furnace in the morning because sometimes when it gets below 10, the wood stove won't keep up in my house, and I'll have to run the furnace in the morning to bring it back to temperature, and then the wood stove can take over for the day and that kind of thing, but. Yeah, it's a fun dance.
Yeah, right when you were saying that, I pulled up the weather channel. I'm in Elmont, not too far from you, so it's saying the same thing, and it looks like we're getting more snow on Sunday. So Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week.
Well, what repeater do you come in off of Elmont? Your signal sounds perfect.
If
For the most part, this is my base radio. I'm going through the Richmond repeater on the FBI network, but I can go to Romeo. I'm pretty sure I can get into Flint one too. There's a handful. My antenna's up there quite a bit.
All right, yeah. Now I can hear the Flint one. I can hear the Saginaw one, but I can't hit them because my antenna is. I mean, I can, but my signal will be not so good because I'm in a forest here, and I really can't get it up above the canopy unless I put up a 200-foot tower. I need to be 110 feet up. Canopy is like 90 here, so. Yeah, my antenna's strategically placed in the woods here where it can hit certain things, and hopefully it comes in good.
Yeah, like I said, I think you sound fine. What kind of antenna is it?
I don't even remember what kind of... It's a Nagoya. I know that. I can't remember the model number on it. I really don't know. I bought it a couple years ago, and I've used it ever since.
Is it a mobile antenna, or is it a base antenna? And I'm trying to find... What's the... I'll find it. I'm trying to find Burton to see if I can hear it from here.
It's a base fiberglass antenna.
I didn't know that Nagoya made those. That's good to know. That's not a VHF machine, is it?
The Burt repeater is, no, you like 447-200. Sorry, 442-200. I was looking at it while I was transmitting.
KFHDIC.
Go ahead, Jack.
Good morning. Oh, man, good afternoon. Good evening.
Did you finish that Amish turkey and ice cream the other day?
Oh, yes, that was delicious. The Amish turkey and the Amish salad and the dessert. That dessert was beautiful.
Good evening, Jack. And sorry, I was trying to find that repeater. I was typing Burton, not Bert. I found it.
Yeah, not Burton. It's Bert, which is quite a bit more north and west.
Yeah, I just flipped through it. I cannot hear it.
I don't know. It's not far from me. I've never actually physically gone and looked at it, but I don't know how high it is or anything, but it gets out to the north really well. Like, I can pick up the Burt repeater from north of Saginaw and north of Bay City. It comes in really well. Maybe it's kind of positioned where it doesn't go to the east or south much. I don't know. But, Jack's in there, too. Go ahead, Jack.
So, how are you doing? You take a cigar break?
I had my cigar earlier today, but, I was just stocking up the porch with some wood. Some new wood for the wood stove.
And that's for sure. You're going to need it tonight and tomorrow night. Roger.
Yeah, I think for the next few weeks here, it's supposed to be looking pretty cold, the forecast for the next week at least, and the next couple weeks, I think, but who knows, that might change. I can't remember your first name, N8BBF, but if you want to do the roundtable thing, go ahead.
know if I gave it to you. Name's Dakota. Jack, how you doing, man? And I'm just looking at the Central Michigan website. I haven't been on here in a minute. I think I might clear out of here and flip to some of these repeaters and see what I can hear and what I can't.
Is Dakota out there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you? How you feel about that cold weather?
I'll take this over the heat, that's for sure.
You were saying, hey, by the way, my vertical has started working. I found out that you do 710. You know what it says, AMP 1 and 2? On that vertical, you, on the 10 meter, you gotta use that AMP2.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad you got it working. We'll have to see if we can catch each other on 10 meters one day. But I'm gonna clear out here. I want to see if I can hear any of these other repeaters. It was good talking to you guys, and I'll catch up with you later. At 8 DBS.
Dakota, good talking to you. Take care. Have a good evening.
KFADIC.
Go ahead,
Ken. I knew Dakota. I just forgot it. Yeah, have a good night. KFADIC. So, what's up, Jeff? Are you going to weather the cold there or what? What do you got, a nice natural gas furnace there?
It's a gas furnace. I do believe it. In the morning, does it kick on at all till it gets dark? I don't know why it stays the same temperature. The temperature's on 70 all the time.
Well, that's good. That means your house is pretty good insulated. Yeah, wood stove keeps mine 68, 70. 71, depending on how cold it is outside. It's probably getting a little chilly inside now, but we'll see. I'll have to go inside and check it out. But yeah, at least if I go over to my parents' house, they're 86 and 85 now. They like to keep their house at 75, 76. I'm like, hey, man, this is warm in here. This is hot.
No, not me. I keep it on 70 all the time. And it's warm enough, really. Plus, I have, I put, you know, 32-degree t-shirts. I get them out of Costco. I get every two, and really, they keep you warm. Those 32-degree t-shirts.
Well, there you go. That's all you need. Yeah, my dad never used to be cold until he had a heart thing a few years ago, and then they put him on blood thinners, and the blood thinners did him in. He's cold all the time now. He wants that house at 75, 76.
I see. Hey, how's your wife? How she's doing?
She's doing just fine. No health problems, so she's good. Can't say that for me. I had to go to the doctor yesterday for my left knee. I was gipping around the last week or so and had a problem with my knee. I could barely walk, could barely bend it. It was full of fluid and inflamed. They drained it, and now it's better, but they can't tell me what caused it. I'm like, what? Like, what's going on, man? I can't have this random crippledness. Like, what? You tell me what's happening. Let's replace this thing. If I need replaced, let's replace it. Like, oh, we don't see that kind of damage. You know, like, man, what? I can't deal with random crippledness. Like, I don't know.
Again, too much work on that shed in the Upper Peninsula. That's what happened. you're getting all this problem. It's more colder there than here.
Well, I told her that. I told the doctor that. I told her, like 3 weeks ago, I was up on a roof, you know, putting steel panels in and standing up 20-foot wall panels by myself. And I'm like, could something I did 3 weeks ago affect it now? Like, it literally came on all of a sudden. Like, I was literally sitting in a chair for 2 hours watching TV, and I got up, and it started hurting, and I went to bed, and the next morning it was crippled. Like, can't walk, practically. And they're like, oh, we don't know. Like, what the heck? I thought modern science was advanced now. You can't tell me what happened here and why and how to prevent this.
Well, Ken, he must have a big cigar. That's why he couldn't tell you what it is. KFADIC.
Yeah, did you have a bunch of beer or sausage or something? Is it gout? And I'm like, no, I stopped drinking beer for the most part a year ago. And I eat meat, but I try to keep it to venison, and I cut out the bacon, and yeah, no, I'm like, I'm good. Like, it's not, and they took the fluid sample, and they're like, no, it's not gout. So, okay, so what is it? They can't tell me.
Must be the first kid on block. That's why.
Yeah, I guess it's just getting older as a bitch. Just going to have to deal with it.
Oh, you're right. You're 100% on that one right. Sometimes I get up on the side. It hurts so bad, you couldn't even get up out of the bed. So you have to slide out of the bed. And really, that's what it is. When you get older, that's what's happening out there.
Yeah, well, they drained it, and she gave me a steroid shot in my knee, and now it's, like, great. But that probably will only last a few months. We'll see. Yeah, I know. But, I don't like dealing with random crippleness. But who knows? Maybe I'll just have to deal with it.
Yeah, really, you can't do too much. You have to deal with it all the time. But you'll be okay for another maybe couple, 3 months by the time you get up there again.
Yeah, I'll live. I'll live. I'll be all right. I'll deal with it. I'll get on. Yeah, I got too much stuff to do. I got some cars to fix. I got house to remodel. I got that barn to finish. I got too much to do. It'll work. It'll work. I'll deal with it.
Just do it slowly and surely. Just do it very slow. Whatever you can do, you can do. And leave the rest till everything heals up. And that's how I look at it.
Well, we'll see how it goes. All right, I got to get inside here and reload my wood stove. My wife's saying it's cold in the house now, so I guess that means I need to go in.
Hi, Ken. Good talking to you. Go take care of that, yeah. You need to take care of get that log going. You might have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, put on the logs. We'll talk to you later. KFADIC.
Jack, have a good rest of your night. KFAD, well.
November 8, Whiskey, Trilogy.
I guess there's another station out there.
November 8, Whiskey, Juliet, Lima. Who do we have?
KFA, BIC, Rochester.
It's a KFA, BIC.
Go, Foxtrot 8, Delta, Romeo, Charlie.
KFA, D. D, R. TFA DRC, right?
TFA Detroit Rock City.
Okay. Well, good evening to you, sir. Don't get on this repeater that much. Where you located? You say you're in Rochester?
Sir, name here is Jack, J-A-C-K.
Okay, Jack, how long you been licensed? Seems like you're pretty new. That call sign seems like it's pretty new there, Roger.
I don't know if you consider it new. I have my license since the 3rd of this year.
Okay, yeah, I figure it's pretty new there. Well, all right, well, congratulations on getting your license there. Imagine you have plenty of fun. What class license you hold with?
Ignition license.
Okay. All right, well, that's all right. Eventually, I imagine you'll probably want to move up sooner or later, get up on HF and stuff like that. But in the meantime, in between time, I guess you enjoy having that tech license where you can get on the different repeaters and stuff and do a little simplex on 10 meters and stuff there, right?
You know that. I already been on HF, and I've been all over the countries. I had over 150 countries calling.
Okay, and that's, you did it on 10 meters?
That's correct, and that is the best.
All right, sounds good. Well, all righty then. You see, you're in Rochester?
Yes, Rochester, Michigan. Where your location at?
I'm in Detroit.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I monitor two of the, I don't know, GMRS repeater, the 625, sometimes 675. I monitor them, and I monitor this repeater too.
Roger, okay. Well, all right. Let you have your fun, yeah? I guess I'll stand by and nice talking to you, sir. This is November 8 Whiskey Gila Lima, downtown Motor City, Detroit. I'm going to be clear.
No problem, anytime. And it's been busy. The 10 meter has been busy on the HF side for past month. And that's what happened. And what is your call sign again? I know I have NA. What else?
It's WJL. N8WJL.
Sir, you take care and you have a good evening. KFA, Detroit Rock City.
All right, KF. KF8, Detroit Rock City, NAWJL.
WDAKLL.
Oh, KF8, K-D-I-C.
What's up there, Detroit Rock City?
Oh, nothing except cold here. Let me tell you something. Last night, it was really cold. I had to put two blankets on with that 32-degree shirt.
Yeah, it's definitely getting down cold at night here for the next couple of nights, too, for sure. Yes, sir. I'm glad I got a new furnace.
That really helps out, that new furnace.
So, 10 was pretty busy today, huh?
Yeah, 10 was busy. As soon as I finished out of that GM, I got on that HF, and it was really busy. I talked to Italy again, Australia again. I don't know where these Australian people come from. All the way to Rochester.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I got a few in today too. I think I logged over 100 today, Jack.
Well, yeah, even, you know what? You're right. The 400, even the 400 was busy today. I made one contact, and all of a sudden it's about 15 different stations comes in after that.
Yeah, 10 meters was going pretty good for POTA today as well. It's funny because a lot of the same guys are out there. They're getting to know them. You know, they're getting to know me as well. It's pretty funny. Some of the guys I've got in over 20 times.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Over 20 times. I ran into the guy and he said, "Oh, I know you. You're Jack." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I talked to you before. I talked to you several times." I don't know how many times. I can't remember how many times I talked to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, you should be able to see you in your logbook before you log them. I don't know if you're using your logbook, but that's what tells me how many times I talked to the guys. WDAKLL Friday.
See, what I do, Greg, I get on my phone, and because my phone is close to the radio, and that's how I do it, over my phone. I never got to use that iPad, and I like to use the iPad because it's bigger and you can see it wider, too. And that's what I was going to do. But yesterday, I matched that the phone with the iPad. It does not match. I don't know why the iPhone, it does not pick up by the iPad. It should pick it up because they're both Bluetooth.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. I use my computer. I noticed if I use my phone or my iPad, it doesn't give you all the options that it does on your computer. So I got two screens and I've got the whole POTA, you know, spotting thing up on one side and logging on the other, so it's kind of works out good.
So now I'm the only one in the state of Michigan with six, with number 6 DX, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I looked earlier, and I think you were still on there.
I guess there's a few people out there in the state of Michigan, but I was surprised when you told me you're number 6.
Yeah, it's all fun, that's for sure. I'm sure it'll wear off and move on to something else, you know.
I really don't know. You know, about 8, was that 9 o'clock, N8LC, there's a net, so I wanted to go on that net. So what else are you?
Well, I got a great phone call from the dealership today this afternoon that the transmission came in for my truck yesterday. They worked on it all day today, and it's ready for pickup.
That is very great, and that is excellent. I don't know how they did that work on that one in a couple of days, but they do. They do. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I figured, you know, I was in there a day ago. I had to swap that truck out they loaned me. I think I told you about that. And I asked my service guy, and he said, yeah, it's on order, but we don't have an ETA for you at all. And then, boom, today he left me a message that it's ready.
That means you got to go tomorrow and pick it up?
That's a Roger.
Well, you should do a drive around for a little bit, maybe for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and see how is it doing.
All right there, Dad. But, yeah, I definitely are going to be concerned about warranty and all that, make sure it's everything's all correct.
Yeah, well, that's good. Everything is correct, no problem at all. And what are you going to do? You got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Well, I'm just happy that it didn't take as long as they anticipated. They told me it'd be a month and a half. And I don't know, it's been 2-3 weeks, so I'm happy.
I hope they give you another 100,000 for transmission only.
Yeah, I think it's going to be either 100,000 or 5 years, you know, from when I pick it up.
Well, what are you going to do? Anyhow, what else happening? I was on 20. There was a few people there on 20. But the 40 was 40, nothing but people from Ohio. I was hearing Ohio and New York this morning.
Yeah, I haven't really ventured up into the nets and stuff like that. On 80 or 40, you know, like right now, like later at night, there's a lot going on, but I'm wore out, man, after playing radio all day, so I'm getting ready to watch the Tigers, or the Lions, see if they can pull one off tonight.
I had to do a couple of things today. I had to run and come back, and run again and come back, and I was busy too, so I forget it. I'm just going to wait till 9 o'clock to go on net.
All right there, Jack. We're going to watch the Lions game here. Going to be playing the Dallas Cowboys, which are got a really good record. So I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, but unless there's a miracle. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you later. KFA, PRC, WDA, KLL, be clear after yours.
Hey, Greg, good talking to you. Take care. I'll be on the net at 9 o'clock. KFA, PRC.
Yeah.
3KSF, Victor Alpha 3 Kilo, Sierra Foxtrot. V3GNF, VA3KSF.
This is Victor Echo 3.
Now, you're not holding the repeater. You're not holding it up. I heard just the bits of your call sign. Probably not strong enough unless you want to pump the power up, over. Nothing other. VA3KSF, QSY to 145.37.
Victor Echo 3 Juliet Golf Foxtrot.
There you are. Okay, you're going to need high power to get into it.
VA3KSF from V3JGF.
I hear you, Jennifer. I hear you. Try it again. Over.
Isn't that funny? I can get this on my bow bang, and I can't get it on my ham. My ham shot.
You got in just fine that time. I don't know what's going on. Over.
Full quieting to me on this.
Well, it just could be conditions or whatever, but no, it's spotty, remember? So a lot of it has to do where the antenna is located. Let's QSY back to 145.37 and we'll wrap it up.
JGF, QY.
KF8 EAP. Good evening.